Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Tim Weatherhead, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Very happy to welcome in our first guest today, and that is Michigan Speaker of the House and Democratic gubernatorial candidate Andy Dillon. Hello, Andy. How are you?
Good, Jack. How about yourself?
Just fine. Well, are you getting ready for the home stretch here? Does it seem like you guys have been going at this a while now?
It does, yeah. We got a little over 2 weeks to go, and we're going to finish the race as strong as we can.
You have what seems to be a very sizable lead in some of the polls that I have seen. Does that change your strategy any?
Not really. We're just working to get our message out. You know, the polls, there haven't been that many, in my view, that have mattered. You know, the campaigns have gotten to the voters here just of late, and so I think voters are in the process of making up their minds. So we're assuming that it's going to be a close race, and we want to make certain we get our message out.
Last week, we talked with Lansing Mayor Virge Bernero, and he had a Main Street unveiling support of 35 mayors, but we see that Dennis Archer, former Detroit mayor, has endorsed you, and also there are a lot of other officials in the city of Detroit. Have you heard from Dave Bing yet on his feelings in this race?
We've been talking, and we'll see what happens here in the near future.
All right. In terms of what that means for the cities, and the cities in the state of Michigan, especially the city of Detroit, can you differentiate between your plan and Virge Bernero's?
I'm not aware of his plan, but we have a very specific plan that started out as a 12-point urban agenda and now is a 13-point. But, you know, we're not going to turn the state around without our cities being healthy, and there's no magic bullet for curing what ails our cities. It's a combination of things that include, you know, access to jobs and access to good education for your kids, safety in the neighborhoods, access to transportation and affordable health care. So it's a lot of work to start moving and turning our cities around, and that's why one of my cabinet-level members will be responsible for implementing the urban agenda, because it's going to have to be someone that has the ability to cut across departments within state government, but also can get someone like the county executive or the mayor to return a phone call to make certain that we are coordinating our efforts to turn our cities around.
When you talk about your plan, renewing the Michigan dream, do you find now that more of the potential voters are understanding your message? It still seems to me that an awful lot of people had a lack of awareness in the last poll I saw.
You're right, and that's why in the last 2 weeks we visited Southfield, Grand Rapids, Flint, and Ann Arbor, as well as Traverse City to present the workbook tour to them. And it's really not just a one-way dialogue. We're looking for input from the residents as to how we can improve what we call the, renewing the Michigan Dream plan. And, you know, initially we had a 12-point urban agenda, and through one of those tours, we got a 13th point, which was creating mentoring programs in our inner cities for those that want to start their own business. And traditionally, we talk about inspiring entrepreneurism, and you think about that in the context of a university or a professor or an inventor. But there's also a lot of folks that would start a business in a city, whether it be, you know, selling T-shirts or vegetables, where they can use guidance from, you know, a lawyer or a local businessman about how to start up a business. And the idea came from a local businessman in Detroit who was offered to be a mentor. And when he was sharing the idea with me, another businessman was right next to him and offered to participate in it. Solving the problems in our cities is going to be a comprehensive attack on all the challenges that face our cities.
Democratic gubernatorial candidate and Michigan Speaker of the House, Andy Dillon, our guest on Ebling and You. Andy, when we talk about some of the reactions around the state, and it seems as if it isn't just limited to Michigan. I was watching Meet the Press yesterday and talked about an anti-establishment mood. As people talk to you about what's happening in Lansing these days, what do they say? What are their frustrations?
Clearly the partisan gridlock, and what they do appreciate is that I was willing to, you know, step out on some perceive as controversial issues about reforming the way we deliver public employee health care or the reforms we implemented on teacher pensions. Those are the types of changes that are going to come whether we want them or not. We just can't afford the government we have today. So I've earned a reputation in Lansing of working across the party line to make certain we build coalitions, whether it be on the 21st Century Jobs Fund or the energy reform legislation we did. And we're going to have to embrace reforming the way we do government because we can't afford the government we've inherited.
when we talk about the reaction across this state and your campaign billboards and bumper stickers say Democrat for governor, you're proud of that. Is this a situation where you could endorse any Democrat in an election like this, or would this be a very difficult decision in light of some of the things that have been said during this campaign?
Yeah, campaigns tend to have, you know, their life, but after the race is run, I think, you know, you got to support the party that you're with. And I do believe that, you know, if we're going to turn the state of Michigan around, we need to invest in our people. We need to invest in the infrastructure. And I don't see the Republicans willing to do that. In my years in Lansing, they just, you know, resist funding transportation. They resist, you know, properly funding education. And I embrace the reforms that they want, but, you know, you're going to also have to invest in the state if we're going to turn it around. Not unlike Ford Motor Company that invested in their people, in the company, and new product lines, and they were able to avoid the government bailouts and are making money today even in a challenged market.
One of my favorite Michigan politicians is former Republican Governor William Milliken, and when we talked to him last, he talked about building coalitions and how important that was, exactly what you just said. How is that done in Lansing with the gridlock there and with so much partisanship?
Well, on energy, you know, I first, you know, when I recognized the problem we had there, I went to the utilities and they said, look, we've tried that fight before. We don't want to do it. So I went out and built a partial coalition and went back to them and got them on board. But when we did that legislation, we built a coalition that included the utilities, business, the environmental groups, and labor and consumer groups on something that many thought was too controversial to take on. But it took 2 years. We did it in a bipartisan way. The chairman of Energy and Tech, when I was a first-term rep, was Mike Knopfs. He was on board. And we passed that with well over 70 votes, and we had a broad-based coalition. So it takes getting people to the table, making the case, and building support for it. And that's what we're going to have to do on some of the additional reforms that are going to be needed to turn Michigan around.
Before you can have the job as governor, you're going to have to demonstrate to the people of the state that you can deliver jobs for the citizens. What's the most important part of renewing the Michigan dream in terms of job creation?
You know, before I entered the race, I asked the question, you know, can this be fixed? And the answer is yes. You know, despite all the job loss, we're number two in the country in research and development investment, which means the knowledge-based economy is sitting here. Second biggest industry is agriculture. It's a $70 billion industry. We have a growing tourism industry and great assets that attract visitors to our state. And then fourth, we have the infrastructure and the skilled workforce. So we need an economic development strategy that provides, you know, a 10-year vision that has one-stop shop for those that want to invest and grow in Michigan. We have all the tools we need to turn it around. We just need the right leadership going forward.
Do you expect that there will be more late endorsements here? And what impact do you think those have on a campaign like this, Andy?
I think they validate a candidate in some respects, and I do expect that you'll see a few more endorsements from our side come out that will further validate that I'm the coalition builder that can lead the state forward. So I think they can be helpful, but they're not the basis upon which you vote for someone. I think they validate what your assumptions are about a candidate.
Democratic gubernatorial candidate and frontrunner Andy Dillon, Michigan Speaker of the House. Andy, thanks so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Talk to you before the election.
Great. Thanks, Jack.
We'll be right back with more. We're going to chat with Jason Moon of the Michigan Office of Financial and Insurance Regulation coming up next on Ebling & You.